Officially been blown out. No more Firefly Funhouse. No more Sister Abigail. Bray Wyatt has unfortunately passed away this past week at the age of 36. It's a little crazy. And I'll be the first to admit we've had some podcast episodes. First string, it was either about Punk, McMahon, or Wyatt. We didn't like his comeback. Still gonna stand by that. We don't know whose fault that was, whether that was his, whether that was Triple H, whether that was Vince, whether that was creative not lining up. But it did turn out that the reason that he missed WrestleMania with Bobby Lashley and why he missed wrestling until then was because he got COVID-19. Messed with his heart, which eventually led to a heart attack. I think they didn't do anything with Bobby on Mania because they were hoping that maybe Bray would be ready to go at Mania or they could do some sort of segment with him. It didn't come to pass. So his last real big thing he did within the company was LA Knight feud. They kind of touched on that on the tribute on SmackDown. I don't know. I tweeted about it. I don't know if it was caught, but the Fiend's first opponent was Finn Balor, and Bray Wyatt's last opponent was LA Knight, and they had them fight I'd like to think it wasn't a coincidence. I know Triple H is pretty good. I mean, even Vince was good with these tribute shows. They had Eric Rowan there. They brought Braun in. I'm sure there'll be more to come. I did read that any Bray Wyatt merchandise that's bought, it's gonna go to his family, which would be former announcer JoJo, and then his kids. I'm sure they'll do more for him. There's already talks of him potentially going in the Hall of Fame, headlining the Hall of Fame, maybe the Wyatts going in. I know it was hard when Brody Lee died for WWE to really do a lot for him because he was in AEW. AEW was doing it. I also wouldn't be surprised if maybe Bray was awarded the Warrior Award because of all the stories coming out about of how good he was backstage. I forget the guy's name, but the guy in NXT that had a Hitler picture released.
Oh,
I
no.
guess Bray reached out to him to make sure he was okay. Like, even if something bad happened, he'd still make sure they're okay. He was really a big advocate for mental health. That makes me think maybe the Warrior Award could be in his future. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's ter
I think if Bray got the Warrior Award, a lot of WWE fans would be upset about that.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be a whole big ordeal on Twitter if that came out.
Yeah, they'd get angry about it, but I don't think in this instance they should, because I mean it's kind of what it's for. I'm not. They could even have him get the Warrior Award and the Wyatts go in the same year. I
Yeah.
just think, like I said, with everything that's coming out about him, especially those close to him, he always checked in. It was said that Seth Rollins was going to go to the tribute show, but then he remembered what Bray said to him when Brody Lee passed, make sure you hug your daughter, that kind of thing. Like I said, Bray was always big with mental health, big advocate, checked in on people. We'll have to see what happens. One thing for the future that I saw a rumor that, because I one of the things I saw on Twitter, which I wish I would have saved, someone asked if that meant Bo Dallas was going to get fired. Probably not. No. WWE can be cold at times, but I don't think they do that. So the going into that, the rumor is that the Uncle Howdy character, whether it stays Uncle Howdy or Bo takes off the mask or whatever, could lead into a new Wyatt family. And yeah, I know what you're thinking. It would be like the Dark Order. But it would be the people that were supposed to be associated with him. So we kind of made a small list, and it would have been Bo, Rowan, Strowman, Karrion Kross, Alexa, Scarlett. That'd kind of be your group. So it'd be a good little group. It just depends on how they do it. I know at times WWE can be very tasteful when someone passes away. Other times they cannot be tasteful, and definitely try and use it for monetary gain. I guess we'll see in the coming weeks what happens. I know Payback's coming up. The one thing that jumps out to my mind with WWE and people passing away is, do you remember when Dusty passed away and Natalya dedicated the match to him and then she lost?
Oh.
That just comes to my mind. And I know everyone's like, oh, that's what Dusty would have wanted. Yeah, it's funny. It's a rip. Don't do shit like that with Bray. I mean, he was a big part of wrestling for it threw me off when I saw like 2012 as his debut, or not even 2012. He was helping someone in 2012, and I was like, that can't be right. And then I realized we're in 2023. Okay, yeah, so he debuted in 2012. It's
Well,
baffling.
as Bray Wyatt, he was in the
Yeah.
Nexus as Husky Harris.
Yeah, I noticed they didn't really touch on that at all.
No, they never
They
did.
talked about him teaming with Bo Dallas a little bit, and then they kind of just jumped over Husky and went into Bray.
Fair
Like,
enough. Fair
we
enough.
don't need that.
I think he would do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he and his brother. So the reason that Bo Dallas got pushed so hard on the main roster is because, I mean, he was great in developmental. He was great on NXT. Even before NXT, he and his brother had a pretty good tag team. Their dad, Mike Rotundo, was a great wrestler, so it made sense that it fell to them. Then, yeah, the Wyatt family was a whole different thing for the time. I mean, for those that don't remember, too, Connor from The Ascension, Summer Rae, and Eli Cottonwood, the guy that cut the terrible promo on NXT about mustaches, they were actually in the Wyatt family at first. So it could have been a lot different. But then, of course, Harper and Rowan joined him. Ironically enough, he suffered his first loss in NXT to Bo Dallas. But he kind of led. I compare it to kind of an Xavier Woods or a Buddy Roberts, where they managed the team, and when needed, they'd get involved.
Mm-hmm.
They debuted. And it was funny, my friend Barry, who watches a lot of wrestling, he asked me, this is before we were like really good friends, he sent me a Facebook message, he's like, what do you think about the Wyatt family? And he brings this up a lot. I talked about how I thought they were just a redneck Shield, because it was just three guys, and they jumped people, and that's what the Shield was.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry about that. The first big
people kept referring to him as the Duck Dynasty tag team. Or whatever.
Yeah. Because
that was really big in, like, early 2010s.
Yeah. I mean, you beat Kane, which, I mean, he's supposed to be a monster, spooky character, so it makes sense. Kane was his first real beat. Then he started really getting involved with Punk and Dan O'Brien. And I mean, he had some good matches. I don't think there's ever a time where Bray really put out stinkers. I think maybe sometimes creatively, but I don't think that was his fault, because it wasn't until he came back that he was really given full creative. Then, you know, he feuded with Cena, and you know, this was gonna be, you know, Cena's gonna get beat, because this was Mania 30. And Cena wins.
And this was the WrestleMania with that badass Eminem vignette to start.
Yes, yep. Yeah, because leading up to this, or maybe even after, I forget where exactly the Cena feud falls, but you have the kids, you know,
that was
got
the after,
world in his hands.
That was after, because they did the rematch. I forget what pay-per-view that was. Extreme Rules, I think. I think that was Extreme Rules at that time.
Yeah, it looks like...
It was... Because they had the cage, and Cena was trying to escape, and like one of the kids was like just standing there, and Cena got scared of a kid.
Yeah, it looks like they feuded until June of that year. I mean, it was a big moment for Wyatt. Everyone always talks about how Cena buries people. I think even at that time, Cena was one of those where if you were in a program with him, it was kind of the jumping off point, and what you did after kind of determined your career trajectory. And clearly Bray had a good one. Then he, I, in my opinion, I think once the cult leader kind of was let go, disintegrated, whatever you want to call it, I think that's when it got a little boring. I think that was the best part of his career. The vignettes, the promos, his cadence, having the two muscle men behind him, the chair, it was perfect. It was right out of a horror movie. I never wanted to see The Fiend in a horror movie. I wanted to see that in a horror movie. But he set Harper and Rowan free. And he returned in the first infamous Hell in a Cell match, where he, you know, came out of he was in the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
With Seth beat Dean.
The ghost.
Yeah. He tried to fix Dean Ambrose like he tried to fix Harper and Rowan. Clearly no one could fix Ambrose until he changed his name to Jon Moxley. But
the only one that could fix him is named Renee.
Yeah. He had a lot of matches with Ambrose. Some of them really good. Some of them like a Miracle on 34th Street fight match. Bray and Ambrose, unfortunately, were that one where it's like, hey, we need a gimmick hardcore match. Oh, we got those two. He lasted a long time in the Royal Rumble, and eventually he was one of them, eliminated by Big Show and Kane. The crowd did not like that. That was a big year of the crowd being very angry at Big Show and Kane, Wyatt was a reason, and then Wyatt started calling himself the new face of fear. Then Fastlane happened on my birthday, and he emerged from a casket and challenged Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania 31. You figure everyone thought Undertaker was done, supposed to go away.
Yep.
So maybe he'd come back. He already lost at Mania. Maybe he'll lose. Taker wins.
Yeah, and Taker looked pretty good at this match.
Taker looked really good. You can tell he wanted to stay retired because his hair, he didn't have the mohawk anymore. He didn't have long hair. He had like a messed up crew cut. It just always stands out to me. You know, he beat Bray. People talk about how Bray, his foot was hurt during this match. I think Taker too. They both were hurt and they still put on a good match. Which I wouldn't expect anything different of them. Wyatt family got back together. And, you know, they feuded with Taker and Kane. They feuded with the ECW team, which I remember that was pretty cool. The Dudleys, Tommy Dreamer, Rhino. And you'd think, you know, going from Brothers of Destruction to Dudleys. He and Luke Harper both lost to Brock Lesnar. you think that might have been like the peak,
right?
Then they got to do a promo with The Rock at Mania 32.
We were just talking about this beforehand because The Rock literally just posted like 20 minutes ago an Instagram video of like their promo together, and he was saying it was a feeler for a potential Wyatt Rock WrestleMania match, which
I don't believe that.
I don't know. Like, I know you're paying respect, and you don't want to be. And actually, I don't want to be disrespectful to Bray or his family here. But I feel like whenever somebody tragically passes away, especially in wrestling,
all the time,
a lot of people try to like flip the narrative on a memory or a story. I don't know. Was there ever a discussion of, oh yeah, I know Rock, if you ever, you know, want to leave your billion dollar acting career to come wrestle again full time, yeah, we can have a, and you wrestle at every single WrestleMania, yeah, maybe Rock and Bray Wyatt, but like you said before we started, they already had a Rock Triple H match teased.
Oh yeah, because I think they teased it at this Mania too. Or maybe it was the year before. Either way, they teased Rock and Triple H for like 5 years.
Yeah, because they did it at WrestleMania 31, and there was like some SmackDown where they did like this face-to-face thing.
But there's also, I told you, the other rumor I heard at the time, which I always would recreate in the universe, but it never would have been good in real life. They talked about, because, you know, Cena came out and helped, doing Cena, Rock, and McFoley, so the Rock and Sock connection against the Wyatt family, or even just the Rock and Sock connection against the Wyatt family, like they did with the Brothers of Destruction. Could the Rock and Bray Wyatt have carried a match also involving Mick Foley and potentially Eric Rowan or Braun Strowman? Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't think that's what fans wanted, and I don't think it was actually ever on the table. I think it was just something that was said in passing, and Bray's like, yeah, it'd be cool. This whole segment, though, at Mania was just odd. That's when The Rock came out with the flamethrower. The Wyatts came out. He told Bray that he ate too many Hot Pockets. That stands out in my head still. he challenged him to a match. And I remember, because we were watching this in the dorm, that was, I think we mentioned a couple times on here, the infamous Mountain Dew bath, that same Mania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want a Mountain Dew bath.
Oh wait, maybe that'd have been the Rumble before. Either way, it was the same setup, everyone there, and we're like, oh, The Rock's not actually fighting. And then he tore his pants off and he had his gear on and we're like, oh god, he's actually fighting? And then it was Eric Rowan. And I remember you and I both looked at each other, we're like, that's weird. And then Eric Rowan got jobbed to hell.
That's all right.
And then they tried to beat up The Rock because, you know, The Rock set the record. God forbid you let, like, King Kong Bundy keep it or something. I jumped him. Cena came out. LOL, Cena's here. it feels like Cena's always involved in Bray's career. Never for the good, but that's fine.
Speaking of, like the King Kong Bundy thing, the record, mm-hmm. Do you think, like, every once in a while, like, who's ever, like, in, like, Vince or, you know, now Triple H or something, like, they just, like, go back and look through the record books and be like, who do we hate now that we can replace this record with?
Because I think at the time, that's when Bundy tried suing him. So, yeah, 100%. Okay. I think that's why they did that with New Day and Demolition. I think that's why they're doing that with Gunther and Honky Tonk Man. I think that's why they're doing it with Roman. I think there's probably some bad blood with Hogan and WWE that we don't know yet. It's just, yeah, 100% agree. That's why the U.S. title, they had Theory hold it for so long, so that way they could compare him to Ambrose. But, you know, the Wyatt family, they fought the League of Nations. If you don't remember them, good for you.
lucky you.
Yeah, they fought the New Day, and the New Day actually interrupted Wyatt during his return speech. And then they fought at the Wyatt compound. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Matt Hardy had a great idea, so now they're trying to copy
it. Yep. And, you know, Orton joined the Wyatt family. Then probably in one of the bigger moments of Wyatt's career, you know, after he joined the Wyatt family, after the Royal Rumble, Randy Orton won, and everyone was trying to figure out what Orton was going to do. Bray Wyatt won the heavyweight title, the WWE Championship, in Elimination Chamber. He pinned Cena in the match. He thanked Cena. Cena was obviously instrumental in his career. And now they'd fight, you know, all their partners. That was the Mania where Orton had the sperm coming down the ramp. Remember that?
Yeah.
during this time, you know, the Wyatts won the tag titles. They did the Freebird rule. Luke Harper was there. Orton pledged allegiance to Wyatt, but then he set the Wyatt family compound on fire.
Killing everybody inside. He got away with it. It's all right.
Yep. Then, you know, Wyatt kind of, I don't want to say flounder, but he did Wyatt things. He was supposed to fight, or he began a feud with Finn Balor. Then he was the Demon King. And they were supposed to fight at TLC, but Wyatt, unfortunately, had to be replaced by AJ Styles. That was the time when, I think it was Mumps was going around.
Right.
And, you know, Roman was out, Wyatt was out, card got switched. It was pretty good. It was fun to see Kurt Angle there. Balor and AJ, good match. Wyatt started feuding with Matt Hardy, and he actually made him broken. If you remember, Matt just, like, snapped. Wyatt kept beating him, you know, because if Bray Wyatt can beat anyone, it's going to be Matt Hardy. If WWE disrespected anyone more than Bray Wyatt, it's going to be Matt Hardy. Wyatt was pushed into the lake of reincarnation, and he disappeared. Bray Wyatt came back at WrestleMania 34 and helped Matt Hardy win that prestigious Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Just as prestigious as the Slim Jim Battle Royal.
Yeah. They formed a team, and they actually won the tag titles. So, you know, I thought it was a fun little team. You can tell they didn't take it too serious, but they were both having fun. And WWE essentially disbanded the team because the team kept having too many ideas for creative. And creative was finally like, we're splitting you. That was, you know, July of 2018. April 2019, we had some vignettes coming around with, you know, a buzzard, a witch, other toys. And Bray Wyatt was the, you know, Mr. Rogers kind of Firefly Funhouse character. Then you had the McMahon doll. And then
Rambling Rabbit.
Yeah.
Husky's the pig boy.
the Fiend appeared. And, I mean, the first time the Fiend came out, I know it's supposed to be other noises. I thought the screaming was like pig noises. It had a really cool look. We talked about it on our Astronomicon podcast. It was actually designed by horror legend Tom Savini. He did a lot of the Jason mask. The Fiend, you know, quickly defeated Finn Balor. And they never really got into it, but anyone that the Fiend fought and beat, the person kind of reverted back or, like, changed something about them. They didn't really get to go too far into it, but it seemed to always happen. Something would change. You know, he beat The Miz. The Miz, I think, went back to being a heel. Daniel Bryan went back to the buzz cut and the short beard. Like, it seemed like The Fiend was doing something with people's minds. He had another good feud with Daniel Bryan, another strap match. Fiend, and this time, was Universal Champion. You know, it seemed to be a good little feud. There was another infamous Hell in a Cell moment with the DQ in a Hell in a Cell. But what became more infamous was when Goldberg challenged the champion. Remember that?
I don't want to, but...
It was the Fiend's first loss. And instead of going after Goldberg, he turned his attention to returning John Cena. This probably had the... I liked the Boneyard match with Taker, but this was probably, in my the more creative, the more fun pre-recorded match.
Yeah.
There was a lot of little nuggets being dropped. You know, Cena being a heel, Cena's debut, what happened to Wyatt after the Cena feud. It was fun. Definitely go back and watch it. WWE has a thing on Peacock about the best Bray Wyatt moments. I that's got to be in there.
Well, I think they actually uploaded the match with John Cena onto YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Good. I'd say it was good one.
I can triple check, though.
So this match was, unfortunately, Bray Wyatt's first and only WrestleMania victory. He challenged Braun Strowman after this for the heavyweight title. He and Braun went back and forth. Fiend won the title, but unfortunately, this was the beginning of the Tribal Chief, and Roman entered himself in the triple threat, and Reigns pinned Strowman. You know, the Fiend kind of jumped certain people. Alexa Bliss joined. They did all the, you know, the burning segments. I mean, it was an odd time for sure. You could tell Bray really didn't like it. And then he was gone with the company until, you know, they started the teases. White Rabbit being played at live events. Little QR codes teasing White Rabbits and other Bray Wyatt-related things. And then the end of Extreme Rules. Bray Wyatt came out. And there was all the live-action Firefly Funhouse characters. We recently found out they were supposed to be real people. We kind of figured that then, but it was turned out from interviews with Eric Young and Mike Bennett. I forget who else it was supposed to be. I think Dexter Lumis was probably going to be one.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. The Uncle Howdy character was brought in. It was cool to see Bo and Bray work together again. And we had the LA Knight. Probably the biggest thing of this moment, or this era of Bray, was at WrestleMania 30, where Taker seemingly passed the torch to Bray. Then Bray Wyatt did that tweet where he said he wanted the winner of the Bobby Brock match, and it was seemed that Brock was like, no, thank you. So then Bobby took it, and now we're kind of caught up. Everyone's saying it was a life-threatening illness, but it was reported, I believe Sean Ross Sapp, it was COVID. So it wasn't anything, because I know a lot of people speculated, like, what it could be. Like, it was this out there, random, like a... No one knew what it was. You know, it was reported he was trying to stage a comeback. And that's on August 24th. Kind of as I was gathering notes, getting things ready for our Terry Funk podcast. Triple H put on Twitter that... Bray Wyatt passed away. And now, like I said, they did the good tribute show. I'm curious to see what they do after. I mean, he had a lot. He a WWE champion, Universal champion, 2-time tag champions. I mean, he had a good career for as short as it was. I mean, it's probably because the bloodline. Like I said, his father's Mike Rotunda, his uncle's Barry Windham. And you know, with the connection to Barry, he probably had a connection with Dusty Rhodes. Like, there's just a lot that went into it. Like I said, I'm curious to see what they do now, if they kind of let him rest, or if they create some sort of Wyatt Rotunda family, I think would probably be more respectable if he had Bo lead something.
Yeah.
Let's see what it is. I'm sure, like I said, his family's taken care of. I'm sure they're doing more than the merchandise, but just based on merchandise alone, I know a lot of people reached out and bought a lot of sadness from superstars and fans alike. This is definitely gonna go down as one of those what if stories, because I know no one knew what he was gonna be when he's coming back. They questioned if he was gonna be the Fiend, because that's what creative and couple of the networks wanted. There's rumors of him leading another cult. There's rumors of him just being Wyndham Rotunda. We'll never truly know, but it is going to be one of those, especially in recent times, what ifs, along with the life of Brody Lee. But like I said in the opening, yeah, we had a couple. I still don't like how they brought him back. Still don't know whose fault that is. But he had a long career. He did a lot in his career, even for being as young as he was. And he kind of faced the who's who of the industry in that short time, with Brock, Taker, Randy, Cena. He even had a stare down with Triple H. I mean, yeah, Bray did a lot. And like I said, it's going to be a big what if. I wouldn't be surprised if he headlined 40 as the Hall of Famer. I would be even more surprised if it wasn't, instead of him, just the whole Wyatt family. And then you could have Braun and Eric Rowan accept it. But then my only issue, I don't know, the only issue with that is, I don't know if, I know why they do it, but I don't want Braun to have a Hall of Fame ring. You know?
Yeah. And he was like in the Wyatt family for like what? Not that long.
Not very long.
No. It's whatever. Well, you know, sacrifices have to be made here.
Yeah, like I said, I'm curious to see, and usually with this, there's usually one or two people that get, like, a big rub when someone passes away, especially when they're this young. Like I said, Bo Dallas comes to mind. I don't know exactly what they could do with him. A Braun comes to mind when he comes back from injury. Maybe Alexa. But I also wonder, I know she kind of contemplated retirement having this baby. And one of the things she kept tweeting about was the doll and the Sister Abigail stuff. Now that Bray's gone, does this push her closer to retirement? Like, you don't have that thing to come back to that you wanted. Or does she have the baby and, you know, 6 months to a year later, she comes back and she wins it for Bray?
I don't know. Like, obviously, it's hard to speculate. Something like that, because yeah, I don't know what she's feeling or thinking. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Right now, I think her wrestling turn is probably not even on her mind. But you know, the itch always comes back. So.
Yep.
I don't know. No, she's probably just concerned on delivering a healthy human to this world.
Yes.
And who knows what happens 10 months from now. I don't think she has to wrestle anymore. She's married to the guy from, is he NSYNC? I don't know which boy band he's from.
I don't know.
He's a famous boy band singer. And of course, her WWE career, I'm sure she's made Ugo bucks, a lifetime amount of money. So I don't think she needs to do it for the money anymore.
No. But like, that's just all speculation. I think at this point, if she does come back, it will be more for Bray. kind of a, not to quote Cody, but to kind of finish the story. There was a lot of loose ends with that, so.
Well, I think if it's anybody, though.
You think it's Bo?
I think it's Bray. Or, Braun.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Eddie died, they didn't give the rope to Chavo.
No.
I think they still want to give it to somebody that they believe is a.
Yeah. And like I said, the only thing they could do with Bo, I think that would make sense, would be have him unmask and kind of lead the group. He was always good on the mic, but like you said, there's a lot of speculation, a lot that could happen, a lot that couldn't happen. It's very sad and very devastating to his family that this happened at such a young age. Like I said, a lot of his friends have reached out from both companies. I know I did kind of a lot of the talk in there. You got any final thoughts on Bray Wyatt / Wyndham Rotunda?
Not on him directly, just the feeling I've gotten from X and like Facebook and stuff. There's a lot of people that are taking shots at people like Brian Alvarez. I think that one girl that's on Fightful now.
Denise. Yeah. She asked Big Show how he felt about it.
Yeah, and that's whatever. Like, should she have asked that? I don't know. Like, I'm not a journalist. I don't know what her reasoning would be. Or even just so, like, all these guys, like Dave Meltzer and them, were shitting on Bray Wyatt for years, and now they're acting sad about it. Like, there's a difference. Okay.
Yeah, they were shitting on the character and the development and how he hasn't really progressed. But I mean,
I wouldn't even call it human being died. Yeah, I wouldn't even call it like shitting on. Like you're allowed to criticize like people.
Yeah.
Especially in like a TV show, right?
Right.
I don't know. Like if I say like I don't like the show, like the new Futurama or whatever. Just an example. That's what I'm watching right now. Oh, you know what? I don't like the way Matt, how you pronounce his last name? Groening. I don't like the way Matt Groening is fucking producing Futurama. All right, and I like go on Twitter and I just post about it all the time. Like it's my thing, right? And we're a Futurama Twitter
page. You're a Futurama journalist.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I really do not like this new season. I do not like the way these characters are going. And Matt Groening just like passes away unexpectedly. That doesn't mean I fucking hated him. Right?
No.
Those are not the points. I know we were also critical of the Bray Wyatt character for a while. I was very vocal about it. I was not looking forward to
it. You were vocal from the first moment, and then after about a month, I was like, wow, they haven't done anything. So I was also vocal. So yeah, we both get it, but it's not like we sat there and were like, we hope everything in your life fails. Hey, 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 you're dead. Like, a human being died, you know? Yeah.
Like, I wasn't excited when he first came back. And I was like, I know who Bray Wyatt is. Like, the character. Right? Like, we've done it before. Like, The Fiend was cool. And then all your aura was lost when he lost to Goldberg. So it's kind of like, what do we do from here? And The Fiend wasn't a COVID era character that worked well. He needed to be in front of a live crowd. And then he got released. Then his return is like, okay, if we're just going to do the same thing, like it's still not going to be entertaining. The return was cool. The first promo was cool. And then he was immediately put into a feud with LA Knight, who at the time was not popular as he is now.
No.
Right? It was, okay, now he's fighting. In my mind,
it was kind of. In my mind, it was LA Knight's prove it feud.
Yeah, and I know we run a wrestling podcast, but I'm not watching 10 hours of WWE programming a week. Yeah. I didn't really know who LA Knight was, so I did not really care about the feud. And then the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Yeah, I felt I'm sorry. Bad.
Are we going to rewrite history now, saying that was like a good match?
I hope not.
I don't think so. And like I said, I've always kind of given the benefit of the doubt because I knew when he did return, at first, it would have been, he's always knows how to, he was great at returns. promos, yeah. vignettes, whatever. He had that mind to get you intrigued.
Well, especially when you hear he reaches out to, you know, Taker, or he reaches out to Mick Foley and asks, like, what should I do? How can I do that? You know that someone that actually cares. They're not just going through the motions. Yeah. You know, they actually want to be good. I read it best in an article that was a tribute for him. He brought a horror movie mentality to pro wrestling, which wasn't everyone's cup of tea. I didn't like it at the end, but it was still cool. It was different, and he did take a lot of risk. Yeah, it's just like you said. I don't, and they've done it with everyone. They especially when they're younger, they rewrite a lot of history. I don't think history needs to be rewritten for Bray Wyatt. Like I said, 2-time heavyweight champion, 2-time tag team champion, had phenomenal feuds with Cena. John Cena said that his Firefly Funhouse match with him, and he said this months ago, was his favorite of his career. He had the match with D-Bry. He had good matches with Seth. The ones in the Ambrose feud was good. I mean, what else could you want from him? You don't need to rewrite history and make him top five. Just, you know, enjoy what he was there for. Enjoy the chair. Enjoy the lantern. Enjoy the fiend mask. Whatever about Bray Wyatt you liked, just continue to like it. I'm sure there'll be... I wouldn't be surprised if he was the cover athlete of the next 2K game. And if they do a... Kind of like how they did the Cena mode, where, oh, you have to beat Cena, maybe beat the Fiend. But again, a lot of speculation. Maybe we'll find out in months to come. But, you know, in a week where the wrestling world was already rocked by the passing of Terry Funk, losing Bray Wyatt, someone who was still with the company, someone who still had many years left, especially being in the best shape of his life, completely derailed everything. Ha ha ha!